Now, good morning to you all this morning. Praise his name for ages ever. Let the heavens resound their joy, for his mercies will not sever, nor his holiness destroy. We have boldness now of access, paved by blood the price of sin, confidence in him the sinless, faith of God now dwells within. Our first hymn is on the screen. We'll stand and sing, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, as we come into your presence this morning, we do thank you for reminding us once again of this image of leaning. We talk about that in a figurative way, leaning on someone, leaning on something, because we know that we do that for support and for bearing weight and so on. And we thank you that as we go through life, there are those who lean on different things in this world for support. But even your word talks about those who leaned, for example, in the Old Testament on Egypt and on different gods. But these supports would give way. These supports are not strong enough to support us. But we thank you that we can lean upon the everlasting God. And we thank you that we can lean upon the Savior. And we will not collapse. We will not fall. And we thank you that round about and underneath are the everlasting arms is another beautiful imagery from your word. And we all have our troubles. There's not one of us in this service this morning. There's not one listening to my voice over the internet who is without troubles of some kind or another. Troubles that even causes tears. and loneliness because nobody else knows about them. But, oh God, you know. You are the omniscient God. You know all things. We cannot keep anything from you. And you know our hearts and minds this morning. You know our burdens. You know our cares. And we can cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. And so, Lord, we just pray that you will bless your word this morning. Bless us as we sing your praises. And may we just come to you and come to know you better today than what we have ever known you before. And so we thank you for the gospel. Thank you in your plan that you sent your only begotten Son. He has died upon the cross. He is the way to God the Father. He is the way to heaven. He is the means by which our sins can be forgiven. There are no other means, only by the blood of Christ. And Christians live their lives victoriously because Revelation chapter 12 tells us that we can overcome our enemy by the blood of the Lamb. And we thank you indeed for the shed blood of Christ. Thank you that the blood shall never lose its power. No, never. And so we thank you for the blood of the Lamb that was shed for us, that saved us, and throughout our Christian lives, that sustains us and preserves us. And so, Father, bless us now, we pray this morning. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's read a few verses from Proverbs chapter 8. We finish looking at this chapter. This is our fourth Sunday morning looking at this chapter. But we close off this morning and read verses 32 to 36. This is the conclusion. This is the challenge from the writer of this chapter. We assume it's Solomon. Proverbs 8 and 32. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts when we come to consider these verses together. Let's stand and sing number 52, the lovely Bill and Gloria Gaither piece. God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive.
Thank you.
It's good to see you at church this morning, and a special welcome to those who are visiting with us. And let me just leave you with the announcements then. At 6:10, our time of prayer, and then our evening service at 6:30. Going to do a biographical sketch tonight of Robert Murray McShane, the Scottish preacher, who was born on the 21st of May, 1813, so just 200 years ago. I didn't get doing this around the time of May because of our May meetings and so on. And so I wanted to do here in the congregation. And so that'll be tonight, and there'll be a few images up on the screen and so on. And so we'll look at him tonight. And what intrigues me about him, he died 2 months before his 30th birthday. So he was only 29, a young man, a Church of Scotland minister in Dundee, in St. Peter's in Dundee. And so even though he's dead 170 years or so, yet his legacy lives on. In church history, he's one of those names that just stands out, and yet he was very young. And so just to have a look at him tonight, so hope that you're able to come out for that. Tuesday night at 8:00, the prayer meeting and Bible study, and we are continuing our studies in looking at God, the attributes of God. And so that is another interesting study as well. Next Sunday then, 11:30, our morning service, and I hope to start a series of studies in the book of 1 John, near the end of the New Testament. 5 chapters in 1 John, so you can start maybe looking at that book at home and getting familiar with it. You could sit and read 1 John in about 20 minutes, the 5 chapters in about 20 minutes. So that's not asking for too much. So read over it over and over and over again. Get familiar with it. And hopefully I'll be able to explain it as well on Sunday mornings. So 1 John. Our time of prayer at 6:10. And then our evening service at 6:30. When I will be speaking at both services, of course. So these are all the announcements. And just an announcement from Coleraine Congregational Church. They have been doing some renovation work, and this is an invitation to their lift extension with facilities for the disabled, the infirm, and mothers with young children. If you know Coleraine Congregational Church, it's like on a split level, and you have to come outside the church and round the side and down a set of stone steps into their church hall, which is underneath the church. But now they've put facilities in that you don't have to go outside the church, and there's a lift down and so on. So this is a service next Friday night at 7:30. I hope to go up to this and just to see. So if somebody wants to come with me, I'll be leaving the house at about 6:30 or so, 6:40. The opening will include a short time of worship and thanks, with light refreshments to follow in our hall. So that's in Coleraine, Friday night, 7:30. So let's now bring our offerings to the Lord and thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we read in your word of the veil of Sharon, and we read of Sharon's rose. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley in the Song of Solomon. And how that inspired someone to write what has just been played for us. Sharon's rose blooming for me. Jesus, it is the emblem of thee. And we thank you indeed that the Lord Jesus Christ can be the fairest to our souls. How we also read in the Song of Solomon that the Beloved was the fairest of 10,000. He's the fairest of 10,000. She loved him more than anybody else. And that is the way we are to see you, O God. And we thank you indeed for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the fairest of 10,000 to the saved soul. There is no one like him. There's no one can be equal with him. There's no one can replace him. Once we come to know him as our Savior. Fairest of all the earth beside. Chiefest of all unto thy bride. We thank you indeed for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that someone will fall in love with him today. We'll take him home, consciously take him home, because he has become their Savior. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless today where the gospel is preached. Bless our churches within the congregational union. Bless them and encourage them today. And right across our land, do bless, Lord, in services, in special missions, in after-church services. Summer work will begin soon. The first camp arrives today into the Dublin Christian Mission in County Wicklow. Bless the next 8 or 9 weeks there, we pray. Bless the work of the Faith Mission. Bless Mark and Kathy and CEF over the summer months. Do bless all the outreach that will go on, O God, to young and old. We pray it will be a fruitful summer. It will be encouraging to your people that we shall hear of many who have come to the Savior. And it will also be a time when your people will grow, continually grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless those belonging to your church who are ill at the present time with different things. Draw near unto them, Lord. May they know your help and blessing and comfort today. And in their affliction, may they just find you and learn more of you and trust you more, we pray. Bless those who sorrow, those recently bereaved. Just draw near unto them and bless them, we pray, in their sorrow. May they know your comfort. And so, Father, draw near and bless our time now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hymn number 5. Above the voices of the world around me, my hopes and dreams, my cares and loves and fears. The long-awaited call of Christ has found me. The voice of Jesus echoes in my ears. So let's not forget that the whole message of the Bible is about Christ. The whole of history centers on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right from Genesis to Revelation, he is in all the scriptures. He said that himself on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, and beginning at Moses and all the scriptures, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And no doubt when he came to the book of Proverbs, he is the theme of wisdom, because we're told that Christ is the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And here in chapter 8 of Proverbs, wisdom is seen as a person who is speaking, who was there at creation, who invites all to listen to him and to come to him, who is in all places, who is for all people. On the heights beside the way, verse 2, at the crossroads she takes her stand, beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. What we have here in Proverbs chapter 8 is an Old Testament gospel invitation. In these last verses that we read, from verses 32 to 36. Here's the voice of Christ in the Old Testament. And now, O sons, listen to me. Verse 34, blessed is the one who listens to me. Listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Him who is the first of kings. Verses 15 and 16. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. The New Testament calls him the King of Kings. Him who is the first of kings. Him who is the fortune for the soul. Verses 18 and 19, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. He is everything. You know, when you're on your deathbed and you're holding a lottery winning ticket in your hand for 20 million, it's not going to be any good to you, sure it's not. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart at that moment, that is everything. That he is of more value than that ticket that's in your hand and you're about to die and to go into eternity. Him who is the first of kings, who is the fortune for the soul, who is the framer of the world. Verses 29 and 30, we looked at these last week. When he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the first of kings, the fortune for the soul, the framer of the world, who is the friend of sinners. Verse 31, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. He's the one that calls us to himself. He's the one who calls for our attention. And the first thing that we can see is a warning worth heeding. Verses 32 and 33. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. He calls for your attention. And he calls for it now. He wants it now. And now. That word suggests to me the urgency of it. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 has been well quoted over the years. Behold, now is the favorable time, or now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's an urgency about this that we cannot put this off. Any of us could die any second. And then it's too late. We do not know when that day will be. I'm not being morbid or anything like that, but it's realistic, isn't it? It's realistic. Now, the urgency of it. Listen to me now, Jesus says. And one has said the urgency of repentance is due to the time limit that God has set. For us, that limit begins at the time the good news of salvation is heard and ends when we die. We know the time when we first heard the gospel, but we do not know when we will leave this earthly scene. God has set the date of our departure. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 2 says there is a time to be born and a time to die. The call to repentance goes forth within the limits God has set for us. Beyond death there is no salvation. Now is the moment to accept God's love in Christ Jesus. Tomorrow may be too late. And now, the urgency of it. O sons, I can see there the generality of it. Because this chapter started off in verse 4. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. That's just everybody. That's whoever we meet. Verse 31, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Verse 35, for whoever finds me finds life. And this is the broad sweep of the gospel invitation. And now, O sons, the urgency of it now, the generality of it. Sons, children of man. And you know what John 3 verse 16 says, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And Romans chapter 10, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus told the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that includes you, includes me, includes all our families, includes all your neighbors and all the people you work with and you study with at school and so on. Everybody, whosoever. Called upon to listen to Christ. But you know, as well in these verses as seeing the urgency of it and the generality of it, we can see the individuality of it. It says, and now, O sons, listen to me. But it says down in verse 34, blessed is the one who listens to me. That's bringing it down to the individual level. Now, what are you going to do with it then? What are you going to do with the invitation, the gospel invitation, this morning? Never mind the person next to you, what they've done with it. or what they're going to do with it. What are you going to do with it? Never mind wife, husband, son, daughter, mother, father. This is individual. This is you and God. Blessed is the one who listens to me. Will you be this one that will heed the voice of Christ? May we have an Old Testament beatitude here in verse 34. Blessed is the one who listens to me. Blessed is the one. We have just finished looking at the Beatitudes on Sunday nights, for 8 Sunday nights. And the word beatitude doesn't appear in the Bible. It's from the Latin beatus, meaning blessed, meaning happy. It was coined by the 4th century North African theologian Augustine. He called that passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. He's credited with that. Happy is the one who listens to me. That's where happiness is to be found. People today are seeking to find happiness. Once they find what they think is happiness, they try to hold on to it. They try to maintain that happiness. But if it's not Jesus Christ, it'll slip away from them and they'll become miserable again. Then they'll try something else. And they go from failure to failure to failure. And years ago, I used to sing a CEF chorus at youth meetings. Happiness is to know the Savior. Living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior, happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me in close relation, having a part in His salvation. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth the living, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. And the chorus says, real joy is mine. No matter if teardrops start, I found the secret. It's Jesus in my heart. Blessed is the one who listens to me. The urgency of it now. The generality of it, O sons, to everybody. But it comes down to the individual level, to you, to me. Blessed is the one who listens to me. A warning worth heeding. And then we can see in verse 34, words worth hearing. Blessed is the one who listens to me. Watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Who are you listening to this morning? Who are you listening to throughout your life? Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 9, after telling some parables, he who has ears, let him hear. People are listening to different voices. They're being influenced by different voices. They're being motivated by different voices. And we're only after singing above the voices of the world around me, because there's so many different voices. I'm even into the next chapter. There's the voice of wisdom again in chapter 9, and the voice of folly. Verse 13, the woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their ways. And there will be those who will listen to her. There will be those who will heed her voice and partake of the pleasures that she offers. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And there will be those who will be tempted by that. But he does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol, the depths of hell. But listening to Christ, above the voices of the world around me, my hopes and dreams, my cares and loves and fears, the long-awaited call of Christ has found me. The voice of Jesus echoes in my ears. I gave my life to break the cords that bind you. I rose from death to set your spirit free. Turn from your sins and put the past behind you. Take up your cross and come and follow me. We have to listen to him. We have to think about what we have heard. And we have to do. We have to put into action. Blessed is the one who listens to me. When are we to listen to him? Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors, daily, every day. Do you listen to Christ every day? Do you come to church on a Sunday morning, and that's it until next Sunday morning, and then your mind is taken up with other things from Monday to Saturday and the rest of Sunday after the service? Daily. Daily listening to Christ. Reading your Bible every day. Do you read your Bible every day? I love to get up in the mornings and I look forward. I can say this. When I go to bed at night, I look forward to getting up the next morning and opening up the Bible for my daily readings. Listening to the voice of my Savior. Feeding my soul. We will eat physically every day. We're not going to go through a week and say, right, I'm only going to have breakfast and lunch and tea on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. We don't do that physically. We eat every day. We have to. We would become ill if we didn't. And we are encouraged to eat healthily. And so it is with your mind and your soul, to feed yourself healthily. With material that is good for your soul, starting off with the Bible and then other helpful books to help explain maybe something that you've read, a theme or a doctrine or whatever. Watching daily at my gates. Every day, prayer, food for the soul. That's when we have to listen to him. Where have we to listen to him? Watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Verse 3 mentions gates. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. You see, the gates and the doors, that's the place of decisions, the place of guidance, the place of government. Now, that's where the officials, the council of the town or city met to oversee the affairs of the town or city. And so we come to God's word for help and for guidance regarding ethical issues, moral issues, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Because the Bible talks about other doors, talks about the doors of sin. Chapter 5 and verse 8, those chapters of Genesis, of Proverbs, chapters 5, 6, and 7, that talks about sexual immorality and adultery. And they would be good chapters to read often. But it talks in chapter 5 and verse 8, keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. So there is a door to stay away from. There is a door not to wait at. And of course, we can maybe read into that other doors as well. But here is a door that we are to wait at. The door of Christ. And of course, didn't he say in John chapter 10, I am the door? Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. What words to listen to? What words to hear? Words that will outlast this world. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. The words of Charles Darwin, the words of Richard Dawkins, the words of dictators and philosophers and everybody else, they can have their say, they will have their influence, they will have their following, but they will all pass away. All those words. But the words of Christ will never pass away. So they are words worth hearing and worth heeding. Because we have got to listen to him daily. We've got to be in the Word daily. Find that time. It mightn't be the morning time. It could be anywhere in the day. But make sure you have a quiet time where you can read the Word of God. Because the devil, we read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, he accuses the people of God day and night. He accuses them day and night before our God. Day and night. He never takes a day off. He never takes a night off. So he accuses us daily. He seeks to tempt us daily. He has a go at us daily. And we're to be ready for him. And if we're not watching daily, then we shall become weak. We shall lose strength. And that'll be an opportunity then for Satan to get a foot into our lives. A warning worth heeding. Words worth hearing. A way worth having. Verses 35 and 36. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. What a lovely verse that is. What about the rest of your life? And eternal life. Whoever finds me finds life. You'll not have life unless you do find Christ, because he is the only one who gives eternal life and obtains favor from the Lord. Oh, to live in his favor. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within his favor. Not to live your life under the wrath of God. Not to live your life waiting to appear before him in judgment. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. As one has said, the smiles of God make heaven, and they that obtain favour of the Lord make a heaven upon earth. And this last verse of Proverbs is interesting. But he who fails to find me injures himself. Or it may be put in the Authorized Version, a New King James Version, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. If I had a pound for every time over the years a person said to me after seeking to witness to them, but I don't do anybody any harm. And that's one of the criteria that people mention. They don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't gamble, they don't have any bad vices, and they don't do anybody any harm. And that may be so, and that's to be very commendable. But here's a verse in the Bible that tells us that even though unsaved person, you don't do anybody any harm, you do yourself harm. There it is. But he who fails to find me injures himself, wrongs his own soul, never mind anybody else's soul. What about your own soul? You harm yourself. One has said, if a person suffers an injury at the hands of another, it is tragic. But when his wound is self-inflicted, it is doubly tragic. They do themselves irreparable harm. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. The opposite of wisdom is folly, foolishness. How foolish it is to love that which will be your death, and to hate that which could be your life. All who hate me, all who hate wisdom, all who hate the wisdom of God, all who hate the Lord Jesus Christ, love death. And so this is the challenge from these last verses this morning. Calls upon you to listen. In verse 32, and now, O sons, listen to me. Calls upon you to learn, hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Hebrews 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So may you listen, and may you learn, and may you look, watching daily at my gates. May you long, waiting beside my doors, waiting to hear what he's going to say to you. If you're going to learn something new from his word, some little insight that you're going to receive that will encourage you in life, may you learn, may you look, may you long, may you love him who has wisdom. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And so in our conclusion this morning, looking at this chapter, do you love Christ? If you do not love him, you hate him. There can be no neutrality. To hate him is like loving death. It is to do great harm to yourself. Do not make that fatal mistake. Heed these words in Proverbs 8, 32 to 36, this Old Testament gospel invitation. And may you think about these things, and may they bring you to the Savior. But there's an urgency about it. Don't forget that. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. It's not everybody who will. There's a generality about it. It's to all. The gospel invitation is to all. The seed in the parable of the sower was sown in indiscriminately, because we do not know who's going to respond. But within, O sons, there are those who will keep the ways of Christ. And those are individuals. Blessed is the one who listens to me. And so it narrows down from every one to one. And may you be that one. You can't be responsible for the person beside you or anybody in your family. You are responsible to yourself. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. And for those of us who do know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can sing in the hymn 765 that all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus?
Jesus, I am to the heart of Jesus, my
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.